men expect for us to continue to give them our money to run down our property. You know, sometimes I think I ought to come out of the Honorable Elijah Muhammad's personality on you. You know what the Honorable Elijah Muhammad told me? He said, son, these people are jackass people. He said, if you don't ride cowherd on them, they won't do anything. That's what my father told me about you that belonged to the Nation of Islam at that time. He said, you are jackass people. And if you don't ride cowherd on them, they won't do anything. That sounds like the language of the racists, doesn't it? That's what the racists say. The racists say black people are lazy, no-count, idle, jackass. The Honorable Elijah Muhammad said the same thing. He said, and they won't do nothing, son. Let me tell you, he said, son, he said, you have to get on them and say, pow, get up there, mute, pow, get up there, mute. That's what he told me. But I'm not the Honorable Elijah Muhammad. I'm a different personality. I can't do that. This is not the Honorable Elijah Muhammad's day. This is a new day. Allah wants you to grow up into accepting responsibility for disciplining and driving yourself. Allah don't want us standing over you, driving you. An FOI captain, MGT captain, a lieutenant driving you. Allah wants you to get the respect for yourself, to drive yourself, to do what you know you have to do to make your life dignified. Yes, I'm not going to drive you. I'm not going to pop any whip on you. But don't get out here and tell the public that W.D. Muhammad, all he's telling us to do is pray and follow Arab. He doesn't want any economic progress for us. He's not a strong leader. You're nothing but a liar. You're the weak slum. You're the weak scum that won't accept my strength. I represent strength. And you're too weak to come into my strength. So you stand outside and put up Uncle Tom excuses. Nigger excuses. Lazy, idle, nigger excuses. That's all it is. Get out of that foolishness. Stop being a coward. Get some courage in you. Some of you don't want to give the messenger 2 cents. Do I drive you? You ever hear me saying, give us some money? Most of our members, they don't give us a penny. Is that right or wrong? Most of our members don't give us a penny. You know why? Because most of them are just ruined, destroyed trash. They are people who have been washed out by slavery and oppression. They have no get up and go, no courage, no sense of community life, no sense of posterity, no sense to invest in the future and sacrifice something from themselves. The only way they can do it, you have to charge them up with emotion. You have to tell them that they are God. You have to give them you have to psych them out, you know. You have to psych them out. You're God. You're the greatest. You're the greatest. You're the angels and the best people on earth. The white man is a devil. He's a cursed devil. He's nothing. Then they will give you their money. They'll give you their money. Or they give you $50 in donation. They'll give you $100. Didn't make but $120 this week. We'll give you $100 of those $120 just to tell them that the white man is the devil and they are God. They ain't gonna make no success with their life now. They won't go out and make a success with their life. They're gonna still be the same old flunky. Most of you who follow the Nation of Islam, you want nothing but Uncle Tom. I'm telling it to you like it is. I'm slapping you right in your face. Most of you are nothing but Uncle Tom. You're around here talking that great black talk, and you were the biggest Uncle Tom in the neighborhood. You were the most obedient, the most complacent, the most pacified black in the city. Going right, work for the white man on some menial job, come back and put it all into the Nation of Islam, go back home, same old thing, live and die, same old way. Wasn't doing nothing to progress themselves. Somebody caused a disturbance in the neighborhood. You think they would defend the neighborhood? You think they would defend their brothers and sisters? No. FOI come out and stomp a pro brother because he wouldn't sell Muhammad's feet. Kick him, beat him up, throw him out of the masjid, throw him out of the temple because he wouldn't sell Muhammad's feet. If he stand up and said the lieutenant was wrong, they would stomp his teeth out. White man on the block could shoot down his Bilalian neighbor. You think he would go to the aid of him? No. People all around him suffering. You think he'd go to their aid? The fist of the FOI was for black jaws. It was never for the enemy jaws. It was always for the people in the house. They beat up on the people in the house. Stomp on the people in the house. Beat up on poor spiritual old brothers and old sisters. Right? And people who feared the army like Muhammad. Beat up on them. Were they out here fighting the forces in the environment, in the neighborhood, that was strangling all of us? No. Were they black-minded? No. They didn't speak up for Africa. An African come around, they turn their nose up to an African. I want you to know what Farrakhan represents. I want you to know what John Muhammad represents, what Silas represents. I want you to know what those so-called people from the first resurrection represent. They represent the worst of a time this earth has ever seen. People lie, talk black and black God, and what nothing but a black fist is. Beating up on their weak people in the congregation and taking all the crap off of everybody else in the establishment. Oh, yes. Every now and then there was a brother who broke out of that, and he went and defended his blackness and gave a white man what the white man dished out. Poor brother left at the mercy of the white court. Right? Yeah. He go out and defend his blackness. Poor brother left at the mercy of the white court. Let me tell you something. Most of the Honorable Elijah Muhammad followers were sheep for slaughter. Sheep for slaughter. That's all. The Honorable Elijah Muhammad's voice was mighty. It was powerful. But his following was sheep for slaughter. They were told to obey the law. They weren't told to put pressure on the government. They weren't told to protest. Just go and work for the Nation of Islam. They weren't encouraged to go in business or sell, to build up something for self, except that you're working under the central staff of the Nation of Islam. That's terrible. Terrible. You have to realize that that administration was oppressive. It oppressed the membership. It denied the membership dignity, personal and community dignity. It put up a false show of progress in blackness. But there was no black dignity. There was no respect for Africa. Nothing. Oh, but what about the Muhammad Speaks newspaper? The black man in America putting his hand in the black man's hand of Africa. Nothing but propaganda. Nothing but propaganda. Africans came to our community and they were turned away. Wasn't given any respect at all. Africans now come. And if any of you Uncle Tom niggas turn them away, if I find it out, I turn you away. Yeah. I met Africans 2 days ago in our masjid. I was the host for them. And I welcome them all the time. I hope to visit Africa, the interior of Africa. I hope to go to South Africa. The message that I teach in America is now being circulated in South Africa by my supporters in South Africa. Right now, I applied for a visa last year to go to South Africa. They didn't give it to me. But they told me if I apply again, they will give it to me. If the people support me there, they will have to let me go there because it's best to have a responsible leader there telling them what's best to do than to have people guessing at what I want. So Allah is bringing me to South Africa by building up a following for me in South Africa. Oh, yes. Yes. Brothers and sisters. The Honorable Elijah Muhammad was betrayed by his people who served the wicked racist establishment against their own good. And if you study our history, all the strong movements of our people have been betrayed by people from within who serve the racist design on our community. The Honorable Elijah Muhammad himself, he loves his people. He loves Africans. While at the same time, he felt that you are very, very irresponsible people, lazy, idle. But he didn't blame you for that. He blamed America for that, for raising you up like that, for denying you an opportunity to grow into responsibility. He blamed America. So he loved you, even though he condemned you for not accepting responsibility for your life, for yourself. He loved you, and I love you too. But I still condemn you. I condemn you too. You're a bunch of lazy, idle people who make excuses for your failure. Put it off on racism. Put it off on the white man. Be ashamed of yourself. If you keep on doing that, one of these days I'm going to take the law into my own hands. And I'm going to arm about 1,000 of my good brothers and sisters, and they're going to shoot down about 100,000 of you, Uncle Tom. Then you'll shape up. Oh, then you'll shape up. Oh, you won't do that. Just keep on ignoring the call to dignity, and you'll see. We'll take a great burden off society. We'll kill up about 100,000 of you wastes of a people. Oh, they're going to put you in jail talking that talk. You're going to be assassinated. They ain't assassin. They can't make an assassin to assassinate me until Allah says time. And as long as I stand up for what is right and treat and strive to please Allah, ain't nothing you can do. I'll jump off this rostrum right now in your chest and stump your guts out. Ain't nothing you can do with me. Not a thing. Yes. Oh, you shouldn't do that, brother Imam. Don't get down on their level. Yes, I should. I call them to a dignified life. But if they think they can frighten us with their muscles, come on. Bring your best. I'll fight your best right now, right there in that spot. With nothing but my hand. Right now, your best. Right now, your best. And I ain't in shape. I'm in bad shape. But I'll fight your best right now and give you a licking in 2 minutes. Yes. Oh, yes. Somebody gonna take me up on this one day. And I'm going to, no, I don't even know you up. I'm going to make a spot out of them right there on the floor. Now, let me read to you some words of the Honorable Elijah Muhammad. These words represent his latest words to his people. If anyone wants to preach this, I have no problem with it. Why? Because it shows progress. It shows that they kept up with the pace of the Honorable Elijah Muhammad. But if someone want to take us back to 1950 or 1940 or 1930, talking that old backward talk that we talked in those days, that doesn't ring right in the environment that we live in now and under the circumstances that we're living under now, I say, you are the enemy of our people. And I'm going to meet you with force. I'm going to condemn you, for the rat you are. And if you don't like it, well, then you just have to forget it. You have to do something about it, don't forget it. So Honorable Elijah Muhammad, in his last annual address, he said, "We want you to know that you have seen the setting of the sun, but the sun is rising again, bringing us a new day." What is Elijah Muhammad talking about? He said, "I want you to know that you've seen the setting of the sun." He said, "But the sun is rising again, bringing us a new day." So this is my word to those who want to stay in the old. Tell me, what is the Honorable Elijah Muhammad talking about? Let me go on. The Honorable Elijah Muhammad says here, "I remember the last time that I was out at the airport. They let me and my followers get on first. Now remember, their flag is still flying over America. Honor and respect the man, because he still has this land." The Honorable Elijah Muhammad expressed an appreciation to the courtesy that the white man extended to him and his followers. The Honorable Elijah Muhammad invited his followers to show respect and to honor people who dominate the land. If I would talk that same talk, they would say I'm an Uncle Tom, wouldn't they? Yeah, they would condemn me because I don't say you're God and the white man is the devil. If I would just say you're God and the white man is the devil, I could teach you to be passive, complacent, and you would accept it. I could talk Uncle Tom talk to you and you would buy it. Now, the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, he's not talking Uncle Tom's talk. Actually, what he was dealing with was a sensitivity in his people that he himself had built over a period of years. He knew that his people had been made sensitive to the white man and rejected the white man and saw the white man as the devil and the enemy. So he was trying to get them conditioned for the new day of opportunity in America by telling them to see the white man is changing. As bad as I talk about him, see how they respect us? Why did they respect the Honorable Elijah Muhammad like that? Because the Honorable Elijah Muhammad respected them. He talked about them, but he returned courtesy for courtesy. He returned kind words for kind words. He taught his followers to be law-abiding, to respect authority in the land. He taught his followers to be moral and to give an honest day's work to a white boss. That's what he taught, and the white man loved him for that, even though he called the white man a race of devils. White man respected him for that, even though he called them a race of devils. And the Honorable Elijah Muhammad realized that the white man was changing, then he tried to condition us to live with the change and to grow and take advantage of the new change. Let's look what he says here. He said, "Respect everybody. Everybody will respect you." He said, this I mean from my heart. Everywhere we go, respect people and people will respect you. Don't think that you are so great now just because God promised you the kingdom. Wait until you get in. He didn't say wait until you get it. If he thought that you were going to get the kingdom, he would say, wait until you get in. He said, wait until you get in. You don't know the wisdom of the Honorable Elijah Muhammad. Let us look here now. He said, this is a very sly and spooky way that we have of dumping. Listen to what he says. He's talking to our problem. He said, this is a very sly and spooky way that we have of dumping the burden on somebody else. He says, right is right, and we are the nation of righteous, and we are the nation of righteous. Can't you see that a man is pleading with you to understand some logic? The man is saying, look, I know you I told you you was black God. I know I told you the white man was a devil. But that's, look, don't go crazy now. Wrong is wrong. And you're supposed to be a nation of righteous people. So don't you go out here living an immoral life. Don't you go out here killing white people at random. Don't go out here condemning white people at random. Don't go out and stick up a white man's business because he's white. Don't you take on his wickedness. You're supposed to be a nation of the righteous. But at that time, we had taken on the wickedness of the people we abused. We were out, some of us selling dope, some of us robbing banks. We had taken on their wickedness. And the Honorable Elijah Muhammad desperately, in this last message, he was pleading with his followers to come out of that silly mind. What the man wanted to say was this. Look, it's time for me to stop this talk about you being God and superior, and the white man being the devil and inferior. That kind of teaching is now having adverse effects on you and your moral nature. It's time for me now to preach to you respect for righteousness, respect for decency, respect for courtesy given, so that you won't be crazy-minded. So the Honorable Elijah Muhammad in his last year was desperately trying to call his followers back from an insane release of hostility on the white man and a foolish, blind following or walking into the white man's footsteps who had done us wrong. Yes, Donald Elijah Muhammad was trying to call us back. I won't read this whole article here. The text of his annual address is very long. You who know it, you should review it yourself. Review that text, and you'll see that the Honorable Elijah Muhammad in his last year, he was trying to salvage the morals that he had built up that was now in jeopardy because the mind of his community had become materialistic, had lost its spirituality, had lost its moral discipline, and had fixed itself on material gain. Money, 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 money. And this was destroying the spirituality and the moral that the Honorable Elijah Muhammad had built up in the Nation of Islam. And he was desperately, at that last hour in his mission, trying to salvage the moral and the good spirituality that he had built up for the future. And that's why he says here, a sun has set. He meant the Nation of Islam as we have known it. It is set. It's gone down. But he said a new sun is rising. What is that new sun? The day of freedom and justice and equality in America. The day of equal opportunity in America. The day of the end of discrimination, racial discrimination. The end of Jim Crowism. The day of opportunity in America. Now, I know that there are races still here. And I know that Caucasians are in the majority. And they have the majority power. They have the power. They have the power here in this country. And I know that they are responsible for keeping us down. But I also know that you are responsible for helping them. Without your help, they couldn't keep us down. I know that the law does not support their crookedness. The law does not support any double standards of justice in this country. The law on the books say we are the same citizen they are, and we are entitled to the same rights that they enjoy. So if the law has freed us, then I say it's up to us to develop community leadership, personal leadership, and community leadership, and to unify, solidify our forces, and let us compete in America. Let us compete in America with the Jews. Let us compete in America with the Irish, with the Italians. Let us compete in America with all the other races. Let us compete. This is a jungle. Yes, this is a jungle. freedom in this country is the heaviest burden that anybody can bear in so-called democratic society. Freedom is very heavy in this country because while you do have the freedom or the right to get the benefit, the criminal also have the freedom to deny you that until the law falls on it. And if you don't use your moral force and use your political power and use your economic power to meet the opposition, you won't survive in America. There's no such thing as surviving in America as a race without competing with other races, with other cooperation, with other business, with other people, with other political forces in this country. That's the only way. This is a competitive society. It's not only economically competitive, it's politically competitive. If you don't unite and compete, you will always be at the mercy of other people. Look, we blame the white man, but more than 50% of us don't go to the polls. More than 50% of us who are eligible to vote, we don't even go and vote. Look, we could double our political power in the ballot. I'm not talking political power is more than the ballot. Political power is political strategy. Political power is economic substance. If you got economic substance in your neighborhood, you got political power. Political power is moral voice. Political power is moral voice in your neighborhood. That's political power. When you can control the criminal element in your neighborhood, that's political power. When you can control the businesses in your neighborhood, that's political power. When you can control the looting and the shoplifting in your neighborhood, that's political power. Now, we don't have that because we don't have community leadership coming from our civil rights leaders or from our church. I'm speaking of churches in general. I know there's exceptions. I'm speaking of churches and civil rights leaders and political leaders in general. They do not exert any kind of influence in our community life, not in the neighborhood. Now, as long as we don't have moral force, moral unity, moral strength, moral responsibility in our neighborhood, we're going to have crime, looting. The little businessman can't survive. The big businessman has to go up on the prices of the goods because the thief is stealing away his profit. So our neighborhood is economically oppressed because we don't have community responsibility in ourselves. Now, is that the plain sense? Man, how plainer can we get with these people? And still they won't accept to come into community life. Still they won't accept to appreciate the community that we have in called the American Muslim Mission. They still won't liven up and join forces with us. Even though we spell out the problem and spell out the solution as plain as day, we show the failure of our people, of our community, as plain as day, and still you won't stand up. You know what that tells me? That tells me that I shouldn't waste too much time with these people. I shouldn't waste too much time with these people. I should take you who really follow me, and I should find a few locations in America, and we should go there and build up a center. And we should practice our life to ourselves and show them we can get more political power, more economic dignity by ourselves as a minority of about 100,000, a few hundred thousand, or a few million against your 30 million. Yes. Why not do that? Let's give them one more year to support this sensible, sane leadership. And if our people in America fail to support this sensible, sane leadership, after 1 year, let us collect our forces. Yes, and let us go and do what the Mormons did. Yes, let us do what the Mormons did. Yes, let us establish our own separate community. Yes, and let us work together as a community. Let us have Islamic socialism. And let us show these lazy so-called black people that we have the real leadership, that we have the leader, that we are the winners. Yes. I'm speaking to my imam. I'm telling them this, and I mean it. if after 12 months we don't see a great surge, a great influx of you people coming to support this leadership, we are going to separate not from the white man, we are going to separate from you dead black folks. And we will build our democracy. We will build our community democracy. We will build it upon the principles of American democracy that is supported by the fundamental principles of human dignity and community life in this holy book. We will have Bilal Adhan calling from the minaret of our masjid. We will have food. We will have factories. We will have farmland. We will have progress. We will change the whole race of lazy descendants from the slaves.